Speaking of security, today we kick off a week of looking back at this very, very changing, turbulent-filled decade, areas like technology, culture, and the economy. But we started this week-long conversation with national security.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center. And
another one just hit. Something else just hit. A very large plane.
America's united. The freedom-loving nations of the world stand by our side.
Today we focus on Afghanistan, but the battle is broader. Every nation.
But it is also crucial that civil liberties in this country be preserved.
A Florida man had a confirmed case of anthrax.
This morning, Richard Reed confessed in open court that he is a member of Al-Qaeda.
Constitute an axis of evil.
We got him.
Reprehensible massacre on Madrid commuter trains this morning.
We expressed people at tube stations throughout London were being evacuated.
The Taj Hotel, it is not just a hotel, it is the symbol of Mumbai.
Tomorrow at Fort Hood we will observe a day of mourning, and we'll move back to normalcy as soon as possible.
And now we must come together to end this war successfully.
Last week, just a few days before the Christmas Day attempted bombing of Flight 253, we called on George Packer for a review of the decade of security news. He's a national security writer for The New Yorker and author of the new book, Interesting Times, Writing from a Turbulent Decade. Before those attacks took place, I asked George Packer to give us a title for this chapter in American security history, from September 11th on through the terror plot since.
I would say America reenters history, because after the Cold War, we thought we sort of had a pass. We could get rich. We could invent wonderful information technology. We could become obsessed with our laptops and our iPods and be left alone by the world, even though we were the only superpower. That was an illusion. And that illusion was destroyed on the morning of September 11th, 2001. And I think since then, we have been dragged back into history, which means into conflict and into the affairs of other countries. Perhaps we were always involved, but we weren't aware of it. And Americans, the mass of Americans, have become conscious of the rest of the world and of our role in it and of the effect of our actions, for better and worse, in a way that I think we had stopped being for a while after the end of the Cold War. We woke up from a daydream. And in that sense, and only that sense, something good happened on the morning of September 11th, 2001.
You also talk about the way that journalists have covered not only September 11th, but the events that happened after that, how they covered the Bush administration, how they covered privacy among Americans, how they covered the Patriot Act. And in some ways, you saw the global media coverage as poisonous.
I'd say it was the best of times and the worst of times. The worst of times in the sense that, first, I think the Washington Press Corps committed a historic mistake by accepting the Bush administration's case for WMDs in Iraq before the war. But I think it's also been a decade in which American journalism, especially covering foreign stories, has really risen to the occasion, both in newspaper and some radio reporting and also in long-form journalism and in books. And that shows that journalism, although in its business model seems to be on a downward arc, in its substance, is actually experiencing something of a golden age in this decade of national security crises.
You know, I'm wondering, George Packer, what your view is of this, because to a certain extent, the war in Iraq, for me as a journalist, was a major come-to-Jesus moment. I mean, that was devastating in terms of how much I felt like we as journalists had let down the country. To a certain extent, I also felt like it was positive because it was such an eye-opener for so many of us.
Well, that's another theme of this decade, and it's in the media, but it's in every other major institution of this country. One by one, every institution in America failed in the Iraq War. It was like a stress test for our democracy, and every organ and system showed that it wasn't up to the challenge of something as big on the scale of a major war and a major occupation. But some institutions began to adapt and to learn. The military adapted and learned faster than any other because they're on the point of the spear. They're the ones who are getting killed. So counterinsurgency, which became almost the gospel of the Army and Marine Corps, was really learned the hard way in the cities and deserts of Iraq by units that were losing a battle against an insurgency they didn't understand. And that shows that some institutions can adapt.
I want to ask you about the future, the next era, because it could be the future of national security could be a number of different things. So there's two that come to mind immediately. And the first one is maybe the next era is about our veterans, because there have been so many problems in how we handle our veterans, whether we take care of them. So perhaps that's one thing that may come in the years ahead. But the other one is the idea of homegrown terrorism as it arises more and more and more. Do you feel like we are blowing that out of proportion?
I don't think that's going to be the major focus of our national security. I think, in a way, what began on September 11, 2001, which is wars of counterterrorism, which led to counterinsurgency, which has created hundreds of thousands of American troops in foreign countries, we're not done with that. That is going to continue for many years, especially in Afghanistan.
What I'm hearing from you, and also the sense that I get from your book, is that, like so many other eras, which were terrible and tragic and rough for Americans, it sounds to me like you feel we've come out of it better than when we entered.
I'm mixed on it. I think we have, in some areas, better leadership than we did before. I think that's true in the military. I think it's also true in our civilian government. But on the other hand, we continue to be a profoundly insular country that has not addressed our own problems, and that is fitful in our interest in other countries and our sense of their importance to us. And I sense that whatever curve of internationalism might have followed 9/11 is bending back homeward, and that President Obama will be pushing public opinion as far as he can in order to stay in Afghanistan, because I don't think Americans are capable for extended periods of really wanting to understand what's going on in other countries. It's the nature of our insularity. And I also think that at home we have these gigantic problems that we have begun to address in our politics, but I'm not sure our politics is capable of addressing. So that's where institutional decline is the long-term trend that I think has not been arrested across the board.
That's George Packer, New Yorker staff writer and author of the book Interesting Times, Writings from a Turbulent Decade. He's channeling Charles Dickens there, calling the past decade the best of times and the worst of times. Thanks so much. Tune in tomorrow. Our end of the decade series continues with a look at the high points of technology in the area of Y2K.
For the times they are a-changing.
The aughts, as some people are calling them, are coming to a close this week. Can you remember back to year 2000, Y2K, the first time you used Google to search for something, or maybe your very first cellular phone you'd ever own? Tomorrow, our guests Clive Thompson and Baratunde Thurston are going to talk about the technology that has shaped 2000 to 2009 and how the times are still changing. And all morning, we're asking you, in light of the foiled terrorist plot on Christmas Day, do you feel safe while you're flying in the friendly skies? And what would make you feel more safer if there was something they could do? 8778-MY-TAKE or mytakeofthetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee, and this is The Takeaway.